Hey everyone, welcome back to Dental Unfiltered. I'm Matt Brown. I'm here with Dr. Andrew Vallow, like normal. This is an episode Andrew's been wanting to do. He's really passionate about it. This is a conversation, an argument me and him have probably every few weeks or so about our view on debt. The title of this episode is literally Dave Ramsey's an Idiot. Andrew despises most of Dave's message, and he really wants to have a conversation about this. I agree with somebody saying there is a culture in dental of pay down your loans as fast as possible, and there's some reasons to not do that. I actually have an accounting firm I work with, Amar Alam, Synergy Associates, and I remember a year ago, he called me about a mutual client we had that I was really close with. He said, hey, tell Doc that we, for tax purposes, stop paying down these loans as fast as he is. Can you help me convince him of this? And this Doc happened to be a real big Dave Ramsey guy. And there's different viewpoints on this, guys, and you have to be intelligent about how you apply your viewpoint. But, you know, Andrew's really passionate about this, and he has a very unique view of debt. And honestly, Andrew wouldn't be where he is without his very intelligent use of debt. So I'm going to turn it over to Andrew now. Tell us why you want to do this episode so badly.
Man, I am like a kid on Christmas morning right now, Matt. I have been just juiced up to do this episode. Guys, let me start by saying this isn't necessarily applying to everyone. This is more specifically for dentists, for business owners. But, you know, my issue is I talk to a lot of dentists, and I think, honestly, guys, this goes along with that scarcity versus abundance mindset. A lot of dentists really prevent themselves from growing the way that they have potential to grow because they are too afraid of debt. So that is my problem with Dave Ramsey. That's why, that's why I feel like Dave Ramsey's an idiot with some of the things he says, is because in my mind, debt is a tool if used appropriately. Now, I'm not saying all debt. I'm not saying to go rack up your credit cards on personal shopping and things like that. That's not good. I'm not saying to go do that. But I'm saying that good debt to grow your business, debt to invest in yourself, is not a bad thing. It's actually a tool that's going to allow you to grow faster. The main point this kind of comes from, guys, is the fact that most dentists these days come out of dental school with $400,000, $500,000, sometimes even more than that in student debt. And right as we get out, everyone is freaking out, wondering how they should pay it down, how fast they should pay it down. And if you listen to Dave Ramsey's message, it's like, hey, you want to get debt free as quickly as possible. However, if you're a dentist who has aspirations of owning a practice, growing a practice, owning multiple practices, opening multiple startups in a short period of time, then coming out of school and quickly paying down your student loans is the absolute worst decision that you can make. Because here's the thing, guys, cash is king. You need to have liquid cash that you're able to access in order for the bank to give you money. So if you come out of school and you start paying down as much as you possibly can on your student loans, as opposed to saving money you're earning in your bank account and kind of starting to pad that account with some excess, slush fund, when you approach the bank and say, hey, bank, I want to do a startup dental practice, one of their first questions is going to be, how much do you have in savings? And if your answer is not very much, but I've been aggressively paying down my student debt, so instead of $500,000 in student debt, I only have $250,000 in student debt, the bank's going to say, yeah, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to give you a loan because you don't have any collateral, you don't have any cash. So if things go south with your startup, you don't have any way to fund that. So that $250,000 you paid down on your student debt, had you had that sitting in a bank account, that same bank would have gladly given you the loan to open the startup. And, this only amplifies as you try to grow. So, if let's say you want to expand your building, you want to buy a second startup, you want to buy another practice, whatever it is, the more leveraged you are with the bank, the more cash they want to see in your bank account. So, I, as you guys know, I've had a pretty successful run these last few years. I've built, multiple successful startups. I'm on my fourth startup in 3 years. I have continued over these last few years to make only the minimum payments on my student loans, and I've continued to kind of pad my slush fund. As we go into these startups, I could, at this point in time, I could pay off the rest of my student loans. I could pay off the rest of my mortgage, but I choose not to do that. I continue to make the lowest payments I can. And now here's the thing too, guys, we got to think about the interest rates. My mortgage interest rate, 2.7%. That's basically free
2.4.
money. Why would I, yeah, why would I ever, I get 5.5% interest on my money market high yield account. My money market accounts with Wells Fargo, it's basically a bank account. I can access the money within 24 hours. There's essentially no risk. I am getting 5.5% of the money sitting there versus 2.7% interest on the money on my loan. So why in hell would I pay down my mortgage any faster than I need to? I am so much better off adding to my slush fund in my high yield money market account where I'm getting a higher interest rate. Even my student loans, 4.6% are less than the interest. Now, interest rates change. Right now it's higher than it normally is. I'm sure it's going to come down, you know, over time. Even if it comes down, you know, below that 4.6%, I'm still not going to pay down my student loans any faster. Guys, I could have taken money that I've built up and I could have put that towards my most recent startups rather than having to take out all that money from the bank. Once again, though, why would I do that? If I empty my slush fund, one, let's say things do go south. Now I have no money to pay or to put into the practices, and I have no money to make the bank confident to give me more money to help fix those practices. Let's say things go pretty well, but I've emptied my slush fund because I don't want to take on more debt. And now I'm ready to go get practice 5 and 6, but I don't have enough money to buy them myself. And the bank looks at me and says, yeah, you've got 4 successful practices, but you don't have any money saved. So once again, guys, the most important things these banks are looking at when they're deciding whether or not to loan you funding to buy a practice, to start a practice, the most important thing is how much money do you have saved? And if you're paying down all your debts, you're not going to have enough money saved and the banks aren't going to feel comfortable enough to lend you money to get that practice. So the worst advice out there for dentists today that want to be business owners, especially ambitious business owners that maybe want to own multiple practices or grow, you know, a mega practice or anything like that. The worst advice out there is to pay down your debt as fast as possible. You should do the opposite of that. Now, you should try to find the best interest rates you can. And obviously, lately, interest rates have gone up. So some of the more, I mean, my most recent practice loan, the interest rate was basically double what it was on my first practice. But you know what? It is what it is. I don't lose any sleep over it at night. That debt, that loan, even that interest has allowed me to grow so quickly. So that's kind of my take in a nutshell. You know, I know you maybe have some different thoughts on that, Matt.
Yeah.
But...
So you know, Andrew tends to have tunnel vision on Andrew's world. Andrew has to realize, you know, there's different personalities and different people here, right? So it's like when you listen to Dave Ramsey, right? His audience is people who have been completely fiscally irresponsible to the ability of a 12-year-old, right? And he needs to give them extreme advice to get them to extremely change their habits, right? Now, if we apply this to dental, right? I actually have a really good example of this. So you have Andrew, you know, debt is like a really powerful drug, right? Like you have to have a lot of really good self-control and will to yield it the way Andrew's yielded it, the way to control it and use it. You really got to know what you're doing. I have an opposite view. As an extreme that actually kind of supports Andrew, but also is kind of what we have to think about, though. I have a doc, for example, opened a practice, startup, had all the bells and whistles. The first time this doc ever hit 100K, like never did it sustained, just did it once. He signed for the space next door, took another giant loan out. I mean, got every dental toy there ever was and financed all of that. Like, and then did 60 to 70K a month again for the next year on average and was just drowning, right? There's good and bad yielding of the debt in business and wielding it and using it. There's, you know, good and bad. And I think part of it is what is your decision-making ability and what is your self-control? Because if you have a gambler's mindset, or you have a self-control problem, or you have addictive personality, you should really have someone guiding you on when you do it, when you do use debt, when you don't. I've just witnessed too many dentists that they're doing 50K a month, and I go to their practice, and there's a dry mill and every scanner and every toy imaginable there, and they have a practice that's worth $600,000, and they're carrying $1.2 million in debt load, and their practice is negative equity 4 years into being open, and they're bouncing their head against the walls. Well, that doc, I think, put debt and toys way above cash flow. I think we have to understand about Andrew's psychology on this. Is Andrew wields debt for cash flow? And a lot of times you guys wield debt to just buy things. And in reality, that mill or that scanner, that toy that you want, that lab you want to build out for $200,000, that technology room, that sounds great, but it actually doesn't generate any more cash flow. So I think one reason why Andrew is very successful at using debt is Andrew is very cash flow focused. Like, Andrew's cash flow first, and I'll use debt to get cash flow. Sometimes you guys make really bad decisions where you use debt to buy things that don't actually contribute to cash flow. And that's where it starts to get scary. So on one side, and I live, to be clear, I live kind of a semi-debt-free life. Me and my wife have similar rules. We don't go into debt for items that descend and have no value. Our home is the only thing that really we carry significant debt on, prolonged, and we have 2.4% interest rate. It is free money. But I do use debt, just bought a practice. I do use debt. We have 150 acres, I think, in Virginia that me and Ryan are working on building houses on right now, either to sell or prolonged rentals. You know, those are all debt scenarios. We use debt to do it. And we have the ability to proof of the debt. You know, part of it too on the devil advocate side is I actually don't keep a ton of money in any one bank account. I have an opposite view on this. And my view is very different, though, because I'm also not in the scenario Andrew's in. I have assets that are worth pretty significant amounts. But I have a rule in my household. I won't say what the amount is, but we have an amount that I don't want any more money than this in my bank account. The reason why is with the way inflation is right now, the money is just being devalued if it sits there. Right. And even though your money market's giving you 5.5%, you can't beat what's happening right now with inflation.
No, right. I'm still losing a little bit against inflation there.
You're losing against inflation. And I have no debt. And me and Ryan, for the most part, can call a bank and say, hey, I need $1.5 million or $2 million or $1 million between the two of us. We need it in 31 days. And with no debt and the assets we have, they're real quick to give it to us. They're like, oh, you guys aren't carrying any debt. So it goes both ways. The difference is when you're a new struggling dentist, my cash flow is significantly bigger probably than a dentist out of school. So when they see my cash flow plus my assets and no debt, it's almost similar to Andrew's scenario. So the real scenario is you guys have to know your situation and know how you want to yield that debt and use it and make it work for you. And you want to know that you're doing it the right way and doing it intelligently. And if you are an addictive personality or have a gambler's mindset, you probably want to think 2 and 3 times before you sign a loan document. So I'm a little more conservative on this than Andrew. Now, I have a friend of mine who might be one of the highest net worth guys I know, probably top 2 most wealthy guys I know. Young kid. Has a McLaren, has a Lamborghini, has a house on the beach, has a helicopter pad on top of it. And he's younger than me. He's in his 30s. And this dude is he's a ninja with debt, man. This dude's so good with debt. He literally has a rule that he doesn't buy anything himself. And he's doing better than I am.
Yep.
So you have to have a very specific strategy, and you have to work your strategy and be consistent and not deviate from it. And it has to be a working strategy because debt, it's very much like gambling. If you go the wrong direction, it will strangle and crush you. And the working back out of it's way harder than being in it. So part of it is the mindset of the individual, guys.
Well, you know, I think that point you just made about your friend, it's very difficult to get wealthy using your own money. It takes a very long
time. Oh, very difficult. It's almost impossible.
It takes a very long time. Well, the reason I say debt's a tool is you can leverage debt, other people's money, to make yourself wealthy a lot faster. Now, you're right. You have to do it responsibly. You have to do it correctly. But here's the thing. And, you know, Matt, I'm never shy about numbers. Between business and personal debt, I've got about $2.5 million in debt right now. I don't lose a second of sleep over that. You know,
let me tell you what, for a young dentist with four practices, that's a good number.
That's not, it's not too bad.
It's, no, it's not, not bad at all. Because, I expected you to be more, to be honest.
Because my dental group is worth multiples of that. So, you know, yeah. Again, had I not taken on debt and I had just went out on my own to try to build this group, or maybe I was like, I only want to take out, I hear this a lot too. So, you know, dentists are like, I want to take out as little as possible for my startup. You know, like, can I do it really lean and mean? Can I do it for 300 grand, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you do it really lean and mean. You build it smaller. You hire less team members. You do your own hygiene. You don't spend a lot on advertising. What do you think is going to happen with that practice? Like, yes, maybe you spent instead of 600K. But how?
Strangle and
I mean, are you gonna have $1 million practice year one? I don't think so. Are you gonna have a $3 million plus practice after a couple years? I don't think so. So you need a certain amount of debt to kind of catalyze the growth of your dental business. And if you're too scared to take on that debt, if you try to cut corners, I've talked to a lot of dentists lately who have reached out to me about doing a startup. So, you know, I make these posts in these Facebook groups. We got this podcast. Guys, I probably have, I don't know, 10 to 20 dentists a week reach out to me on Facebook. Hey, doc, I'm thinking about doing a startup. I'm thinking about buying a practice. I'm thinking about doing this. You know, and they want to pick my brain about it. And guys, keep in mind, I've got five businesses. I've got a podcast. I've got a 15-month-old. So, you know, I do always answer these messages. I do my best to try to help people out. But I also let them know, like, hey, one, if you haven't already, check out my podcast. It's a resource. But two, if you're thinking about doing a startup, you got to hire an expert on doing startups. Like, yes, okay, I've done four startups, but like, I'm not a startup consultant, guys. I don't offer consulting services. I used a startup consultant who I think is the best in Ideal Practices. And I will always tell people that. I'll say, hey, go talk to Ideal Practices. I'll give you an introduction to them. Great team. And a lot of times the response I get is like, oh yeah, I heard they're expensive. Like, I don't know if I can afford that. I'm trying
expensive to not use them.
Guys, this is
it's exactly so expensive to not use Ideal. Listen, guys, Andrew's done two startups. No, three, four, right?
Four startups.
Four, well, three in the reboot, right? So
whatever you want to call it, Matt.
Yeah, 3.5 in a reboot is what we'll call it. I was beat Andrew about startups. But anyway, the deal is this. I have been front row over the last 4 years for probably 100 startups. Like, they're from, like, before construction starts. And I will tell you this. When we onboard a startup at Energize and they're not ideal, my team gets terrified about how much of a mess it's going to be. When it's ideal, we know pretty close within a month of what they say the original opening date is before construction even starts, they'll be open. And everyone says, oh, it was 50 grand or whatever the number is. It's expensive. Let me tell you what, paying rent for 3 or 4 months and missing on revenue while things go longer is way more expensive. The missed opportunity is huge. And I can tell you, Ideal startups launch 90% more smoother than any other startups we've ever done. When I say they're pros at it, they will make that process as painful as possible to get open. It's a mistake not to use them. It's a pure mistake. It really is.
And my other answer too, guys, like, not only do they prevent me from making mistakes and set me on path for success, they actually save me money. So I saved more money on my startup process using them than I actually spent on their services. They had their own preferred contractor. His bid was $70,000 less than the other two bids from the other contractors that I had vetted myself. So just in the construction for the same project, just in the construction process, saved $70,000 going with their preferred contractor. So guys, again, it's just sometimes we get in our own way. Sometimes we listen too much to Dave Ramsey's advice. And a lot of the dentists I talk to about this stuff are smart, cautious, I would say overly cautious. So, you know, these aren't those fiscally irresponsible people that are out there just spending way more money than they have on nonsense junk. These are very intelligent, responsible dentists who are scared to spend money to take on debt to try to grow their business. And that just goes along with that scarcity mindset. So that's, at the end of the day, guys, that's my issue with Dave Ramsey's. I feel like he kind of breeds that scarcity mindset. You've got to get out. You've got to stay debt-free. You can't take on any debt. You've got to pay down all your debts as quick as possible. And once again, for certain people, maybe they need that message. You know, we all have that irresponsible friend who you know can't be trusted with a credit card. Okay, so there are maybe people who really do need their hands held. But for most of you guys listening to this podcast right now, I know that you're intelligent, you know, dental professionals. And if you let fear get in the way, you're never going to reach your maximum potential for growth of your business. You can't be scared to spend money. Scared money don't make money. I think that's a famous quote, maybe by a rapper or something like that. But I mean, that's just basically where I'm going to leave this whole thing is just that, you know, I talk to these dentists in my mastermind group who are wanting to, a good friend of mine, he is expanding his business. He is going from four or five op practice into a 12 op practice. He's buying the building. He's fee for service. So he needs to expand. He needs to get a lot more patients in the door. And so we're having this conversation at this mastermind meeting, you know, about how he's going to accomplish this. And then the next conversation we're having is how he's telling me like, yeah, I was able to save up some money these last couple of years. So I think I'm going to pay off the rest of my student debt. I'm like, dude, no, like that is not what you should be doing right now. You're trying to grow your business. You're trying to triple in size your dental practice. You need to get all these new patients in the door. You're already not spending enough on marketing for your small practice because you already have holes in the schedule. You've got to like triple, quadruple your number of new patients that are coming in the door. Why would you spend your free cash to pay down your student loans that you don't even have a super high interest rate on when that cash could be sitting there to either one, help you get additional working capital from the bank so that you can spend more on marketing? Or two, if you need to inject some of your own cash, I would rather do that than see you pay down. So we had this conversation. That's kind of where this whole idea for this podcast sprang from. I was like, dude, too many of us dentists are listening to this fear mongering about how debt is such a bad thing. And, you know, for some people, like, I get it. Like, you want to be able to sleep at night. You're going to sleep better, easier, knowing that you don't have debt. But at the same time, guys, I think you need to shift your mindset. That, you know, that you need to shift to that abundance mindset. And you need to realize that, hey, I know what I'm doing. I'm an intelligent person. I'm going to grow my dental business. And debt is a tool I'm going to leverage. I'm going to use other people's money to help grow my own business so that my business generates more revenue, so that my business is worth more money. But you can't do that without money. And again, if you're paying down all your own debt, you don't have cash in your bank account, it's going to be tough to get funding from the bank to really grow your business. So.
Yeah, and going to the fear mongering, I was actually going to say that we there's two things I want to remember when listening to anybody like Dave Ramsey, anybody that's in this kind of space that has a podcast, has an audience. You got to remember on one side they're an entertainer. So when you listen to Dave is entertaining. I listen to him, and you know he's like, you know this guy here, he bought a boat that was $250,000, and this guy makes $90,000 a year, and he gets real animated and real. Guys, it is fear mongering. You know, if you're going to make these giant financial decisions that are going to echo and ripple into a decade later, I recommend you probably have a financial advisor that also looks at your unique situation and knows intelligently every aspect of what you're doing. Because when Dave is saying these things and it's entertainment and people are listening, he's not just speaking to you. He's speaking to you and the guy next to you that's, you know, making 50 grand a year, living in a trailer, who's got $100,000 in debt he shouldn't have, right? Like, you have to understand, he's trying to create an entertaining message that applies to most audiences to get listeners to drive his, you know, the growth of his reach, right? I really recommend getting somebody who knows your unique situation and advises you on your conditions. Because, you know, this is kind of a thing that goes back to the marketing side of it. I hate this. And this kind of feeds right into this. We dealt with a DSO a couple years ago. They were Midwest. They were on the grow, and there was this metric they always threw around. Like, someone said this metric, and I thought it was complete bullshit, to be clear. And they were like, 3% of your collections should be marketing. I'm like, well, if the practice is only doing 20 grand a month, you just opened 3%. And they really wanted to do it that way. As it grows, we'll grow that 3%. I'm like, no, you got to, where is, at what point in the practice cycle is 3% right? The answer is that's a stupid metric. When you hear these blanket terms and people say these blanket things, they try to apply to all scenarios. It really isn't intelligent, to be completely clear. And Dave Ramsey kind of falls into the same thing, guys. You have your own unique scenario. You need to get professional advice. And also, you need to know yourself. If you think that you could have a gambling problem and you have self-control issues, maybe you need to think really hard before you sign any loan documents all the time. If you're somebody like Andrew who has a set strategy, who works a strategy, it's kind of like playing blackjack. If you play blackjack emotionally, you're probably going to lose. If you play blackjack intelligently and have a system, you can increase your probability of winning. But you have to have really serious emotional control. What was that?
I said, but you're still probably going to lose. House always wins. Come on. Dude, I think that's a great point. So like kind of the same thing we were talking about with like cutting corners in the startup, trying to take less money out. I hear that same thing from startups. So dentists that have already done their startups that are approaching me and saying, Doc, it's amazing what you're doing. Can you give me some advice? My startup's struggling. I'm only seeing 8 new patients a month. You know, I'm basically sitting there all day. I don't know how I'm paying my team. And, you know, one of the first questions I always ask is like, so like what marketing are you doing? How much are you spending? Oh yeah. No, I'm spending $500 a month on Google ads. So that like, that should be driving in more new patients. And I'm like,
that's a waste of money. Yeah, complete waste of money. You're burning money. Go donate $500 a month to a charity. You're wasting money.
So, you know, my advice is always like, you need to immediately 10x that. Like if you're spending less than $5,000 a month on marketing as a startup, like you have no business being a startup dental practice. You're going to grow so slowly. The doc's always, oh, I can't afford that. It's not in my budget. I'm like, you can't afford not to do that. So that goes back to that same mindset, guys. Like in as a startup business, debt is a tool. You need to make sure that you budget enough in working capital that you've got enough to spend on marketing. Guys, those of you that have heard about my most recent startups and how successful they've been in their first month, it's not by accident. You know, it's not a magic trick.
No, you don't hit four home runs in 2 years, 3.5 home runs that without it being an act. It's not an accident. There's consistency there.
But, you know, my marketing budget for those new practices was $15,000 a month. $15,000 for a business that's generating no revenue. But I budgeted for that, guys.
I'm gonna be the dentist that's just a startup. But Andrew, I can't afford that. It's just a startup. You can't afford not to, guys.
Right.
I'm gonna predict the future for you right now. Okay. I had a phone call yesterday. It was the end of the day, 4:30 in the afternoon. My day was winding down. I had a break in my calls. I went downstairs, sat on the back patio overlooking the lake I live on, and one of my team members called me, my national sales director, and he goes, hey, I have a scenario. How do you approach this? And he says, Doc's been open 4 years, did a startup, doing 50K a month straight for 4 years, no growth. Now he wants to market, and he says he can't afford to market. And I said, can't afford not to. It's a tough conversation now. He goes, what? You gotta paint the reality of what it is. Doc, there's two scenarios here. The scenario you're going towards right now is that some DSO comes along and sucks you up for pennies on the dollar just to get your space, and then they show you that they can make that space successful and you feel bad about yourself. Second one is you just go out of business and die because that's the path you're on. You can't survive this way. It's not sustainable. You can't sustain your life and end the practice at 50K a month. Well, maybe I can go find some marketing I can afford. Explain that to me. Well, maybe it's $1,500 a month instead of your price. And like, okay, so you're going to find some guy who's going to manage Google AdWords for $1,000 a month and spend $500 a month on marketing budget and just take your money, and you're never going to get return out of it. So now the scenario is, do you take a working loan? What do you do? This is a scenario where this doc has to pull up their big boy pants and say it's time to use debt and get aggressive. And I've been cautious for 4 years, and what I was doing was a slow suicide. Like, guys, like, listen to me. I see this, guys. When I say I see it every day, I see this from the point of view of lots of practices. Like, I have data that I get access to that is tremendous. And I will tell you that when you have that mindset, you start life as a practice owner on a slow path to some form of suicide, whether it's assisted by the DSO, stealing your practice from you, and then showing you 90 days later it could be awesome, and you just scratching your head and feeling bad about yourself, or you just dying going out of business. You have to bet on yourself.
Well, and it's not just for startups, guys. It's any time that you want
to. It's acquisition. So, I've seen acquisitions go backwards the same way.
Well, no, but my point is that my flagship office that's now been open almost 3 years and we're rocking and rolling, we're bringing on another dentist. So, you know, once again, I am like up in the ante with our marketing. I'm, you know, so, and this is where a lot of dentists get it backwards too. They're like, oh man, I'm hired another staff member. I hired another team member. I hired a hygienist. I'm paying this extra salary. I got to cut costs elsewhere. So they go cut their marketing. Like, they do the exact opposite of what they need to do because they're trying to balance out these costs. you need to double down. If you're going to spend more money on another hygienist, you're going to spend more money bringing another doc to your practice, you need to also spend more money on your marketing, because now you need more patients for that person. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm getting ready to bring in a second full-time associate for my flagship practice. And in preparation for that, I've doubled my marketing. You know, I had cut back to about 8 to 10K a month for my flagship office because we were rocking and rolling and we didn't have as many holes to fill and things like that. Well, now that we're bringing another doctor, I'm pushing that back up, you know, close to 20K a month, because I want to start bringing in a lot more new patients. I also brought back our $98 special. So, you know, I have talked about this before, guys, like, when you first are starting out, you got to keep barriers as low as possible. So we have our $98 new patient deal with the x-rays, exam, cleaning, free teeth whitening. As my flagship office got busy, our recall got busy, we didn't have as many much room for new patients. So I got rid of that special. I raised it to 188. I basically doubled it. And guess what? Surprise, surprise, our new patients went down. We also dropped marketing a little bit too. So that was part of it. Well, now bringing back the $98 special, doubling down on our marketing, our new patient numbers are on the rise again. We're going to get back to that point where we're seeing like 250 new patients a month, and we're fitting them in anywhere we can. They're going in hygiene, they're going in doctor side, whatever it is. But the point is, I got to get more new patients in. We got to get more treatment on the schedule. So now I've got, you know, treatment for both of these associates 4 days a week. So that's another mistake that docs make with that scarcity mindset, where they're scared to spend money. They think they're spending money on another employee, so they got to cut costs elsewhere. But you don't cut costs for marketing, guys. That's the last place you need to cut costs from if you're trying to grow your team. So we're going to, oh, go ahead, Matt.
And there's something I'll highlight when you're talking. There's a psychology mindset flaw here, and I want to highlight it for the listeners so they can recognize that they might fit into it and they can say, I can make this adjustment. So applying the Dave Ramsey mindset, the individual who embraces the Dave Ramsey mindset in this scenario, for me, at least in the docs I experience, is a doc that doesn't want to embrace any level of risk. They want to avoid any level of stress, right? So they say, I want to do a startup, but I want to do it very safely. I want to be super safe about this, and I want to avoid any stress, and I want to avoid, you know, the risk. Well, I'm going to tell you a couple things. These are facts. These are laws of nature, almost to the point of physics. All right. There is very rarely ever, if never, any reward without extreme risk.
Yeah.
So if you're doing this and you're saying, I'm scared of risk, which is the Dave Ramsey mindset, right? You probably shouldn't do it. Or you have to do some serious looking into yourself and say, I want to do it. Number two is, I have this conversation every day when people hire my company. If you've ever done a demo with me, you've probably ended this way. Now, I want to be clear with you. My mission is to cause massive amounts of stress and discomfort in your practice. And doc's like, why? Because there's zero growth in the world without stress and discomfort. It doesn't exist. And they're like, oh, like, understand this. After you hire me, in the first 90 days, somebody's going to have a meltdown or a breakdown in that practice, a staff member or somebody, because I'm going to push the capacity of your practice and find out what you can handle and provide you growth. If you're a doc and you're listening right now, and you're like, oh, Dave Ramsey sounds good to me, and I want to do a startup, and I have this vision of success, but my vision of success is a smooth road up the hill with no bumps and no bruises and not falling down, and that's what I'm going to make happen. You're living a freaking dream. Guys, just own it. This is going to be hard, but get excited about the hard, man. Get excited about it. Like, nothing in life worth doing is hard. But like, man, this is going to be hard, and it's going to be a great story. I'm going to be a better person afterwards. I'm going to find things about myself. I'm going to find out where I'm uncomfortable. And all this kind of goes back to the Dave Ramsey mindset of like, no, guys, you have to figure it out. It's going to suck. Embrace it, move forward with it, and understand that you're going to get hit in the face a ton of times on the way to growing the startup. Guys, I can't tell you how many times I'll call Andrew about something, nothing related to dental, and I'll hear his voice. What's up, bro? It's like, dude, today was not the day. Or he'll call me the same thing. I'm like, bro, today sucked. Well, guess what? There's no way you do what we have done without having those days. Just own it. Life's going to suck.
Yeah. No, I think, guys, if you don't have some kind of appetite for risk, as Matt said, you probably shouldn't be doing a startup dental practice. I mean, it is. It's risky.
You should be buying a practice.
Yeah. I mean, even that, I guess, I feel like
you shouldn't be acquisitioning one either. Just be an associate.
It's a little bit safer, but like, you still have to spend money.
I don't think it is at all.
So you still have to take on debt. You've got to spend $1 million, 1.5, whatever. I guess it depends on the size of practice you're buying. But I mean, to your point, yeah, if you don't have any appetite for risk, you probably should just be an associate dentist. And that's fine. I mean, not ownership is not for everybody. You just have to know yourself. But I think in order to do a successful startup and to grow quick, in order to do what I've done, guys, you have to have that appetite for risk. So like, I am not scared at all of debt if I haven't made that clear. I'm not scared of betting on myself. I will bet on myself every single time. And that's why I've been able to achieve what I have over these past few years. I think we need to wrap this up before we continue beating this dead horse. But this is something I'm passionate about, guys. No offense to you, Dave. I just, I'm sure your message is necessary.
I'm a fan. I like listening to Dave. I'm a fan, to be honest.
I just don't think it's the right message for a lot of my fellow dentists out there. I think it's breeding the wrong mindset for them as they, want to grow their business, but they're scared to take on, debt that's necessary in order to grow their business. Guys, cash is king. I mean, I think that's my main message here is like, if you've got money coming in and you don't know what to do with it, in my personal opinion, if you have any plans to expand your business in the near future, you should pad a lot of that into your slush fund and do something safe like a money market account where you can access it quickly. Could you invest it in stocks? Yeah, you can. Just realize that you may need to take that money out in order to fund a project or whatever it is, and you may have to take it out when the market's down. So that's the only risk in investing that money if you have short-term goals of expanding your business. That's why I've passed up on, I've got very modest stock and crypto accounts and things, but honestly, it's almost more for fun. The majority of the money that I have coming in that I can save goes into this money market account. So that way I can access it whenever needed. And that way the bank looks at me and says, oh yeah, you've got all this cash, guys. Cash is king. The banks know it. It's going to help you get the funding you need to continue to grow your businesses. Don't be afraid of debt. Debt's a tool. Don't lose sleep over it. Just make sure it's debt that's going to turn ROI. As Matt said earlier, don't go buy all the ADEC chairs going to all this, debt doing that to replace all the chairs in your office. It's not going to turn any ROI. For pennies on the dollar. Like, okay, let's say the scenario is you got old chairs and you feel like it's affecting the patient experience. For pennies on the dollar, you can reupholster those old chairs and all of a sudden they look great and they look brand new. The patient's not going to know the difference between you doing that and you spending tens to $100,000 replacing all your chairs with brand new ADEC chairs.
So I'll be clear. When I go to a dental practice as a non-dentist, I don't know. I have no idea what the chair is. I don't know. I'm not like, hey, this doc has ADEC chairs. This is a good doc. I don't ever think that. If this chair is comfortable, they're going to do my cleaning. I'm already terrified because I have high dental anxiety. I'm not looking at the chair.
So debt's good if it's going to turn ROI. Debt's good if it's another practice. Debt's good if it's expanding your practice. Debt's good if it's building out more ops, bringing on an associate. These are forms of good debt, good expenses, marketing to grow your practice. That's all good debt. Bad debt is I'm going to go buy a bigger house. I'm going to go buy that Lamborghini. I'm going to go on a shopping spree. I'm going to go take some exorbitant trip that costs $30,000. Or I'm going to go buy these fancy dental, equipment that is name brand but isn't really going to turn any more ROI than something else. That's bad debt. So, I'm not saying that bad debt is good, but I'm saying good debt is a good thing. It's a tool. It's something you can leverage. You can make yourself wealthy a lot faster by using other people's money than using your own. So that's about all I have for today's episode, Matt. Thanks for letting us do this. I'm sure this will be a little bit of a controversial one, but I really wanted to get this message out there because it is something that's important to me. And it's something that I've got fired up talking to some of my even like friend dentists about that I feel like are making mistakes in their career with how they view debt. So,
hey guys, thanks for joining us. We do this podcast. We don't have sponsors. No one ever pays to come on the show. We try to keep it from being an infomercial for you guys. We try to have it be useful, good information. Please reward us by following and subscribing. We're trying to grow our followers. Also, share it, if you don't mind, on social media. If you found an episode really helpful and you're listening to it on the way to work, but I think this could help another dentist, hit the share button and go share it. This isn't monetized. We don't have any income from it. Me and Andrew dedicate a lot of time to the production of it. It's done purely with the point of me and Andrew got tired of listening to podcasts that were turned into commercials for companies, and we wanted to be useful for you. So please subscribe and follow. Thank you for making time to listen to us, and have a great day, guys.